Yo, what's up, guys? Welcome into Stackin' Dubs. I am your host, Chris Chin. The Warriors pull off a nice come-from-behind victory last night against the Wolves, end up splitting the home baseball series matchup over the weekend, losing on Friday. Looked to be pretty grim last night. The offense just couldn't find any answers in that first half, and just seems like the Wolves were just not missing anything. But the Warriors dug in, found enough offense, and got a much-needed win. I guess my first thoughts were, you know, for the majority of the last game and for the game Friday and the first half of last night, is that the Warriors just cannot find offense against teams with a top rim protector. So Rudy Gobert obviously, but then also teams with good point of attack defenders on the perimeter that just keep our guards and ball handlers from getting to where they need to, getting into our sets, basically just blowing up the motion offense. And then you add a shot blocker behind that and basically takes away everything in the paint behind it. And it was very, very apparent that the Warriors just not even just the amount of scoring and the shot making, but just the quality of shots. I mean, they just weren't getting good looks for, the last six quarters. And I know the Wolves have been the number one defense in the NBA for the last, almost 2 years now. But it really just revealed what I thought, and it's still probably true, just how far away this offense is from being a contending level offense. You know, the Wolves are obviously the elite defense, but, you know, there's good teams like Boston and some of these other teams that, and like the Thunder, it's going to be a very similar recipe. And you see that's why the Warriors have just really struggled. And fortunately, our defense has been strong on the other side of the ball to keep us in games. But man, it really feels like if the Warriors aren't just launching up threes and shot making, which has not been the case recently, it is just hard to generate enough offense to win. But fortunately, at halftime, the Warriors did something different. I don't know what they did, but they came out in that third quarter and dropped 44 points, one of our highest scoring halves in the season. Most particularly, they did not turn the ball over in that third quarter. And I'm not going to point fingers here, but maybe Draymond Green leaving a little early in that third quarter with foul trouble. I mean, there seems to definitely be a correlation with Draymond Green and turnovers. I hate to say it because he gives us so much playmaking, but man, there's just always one just or two just boneheaded forced like 30 plus foot pass that leads to a turnover by Draymond. There's passes on backdoor cuts, which I'm okay with because you're being aggressive, but it's too much forcing, especially for a veteran who is, you know, essentially outside of Steph, our best ball handler and playmaker, needs to be cleaned up, but was good enough to win. I think that's always just been a bugaboo of the Warriors and a bugaboo of Draymond. So he's continuing to work on it, and that needs to be better. But no turnovers in the third quarter last night. Warriors go on a huge run in that third. Curry finishes it off, ends up hitting from about 40 feet away. Warriors lead by three at the end of three. Curry was great in this one, played a lot more minutes than I think the Warriors were hoping. But I think Kerr knew that, hey, the Warriors need to go get this game, especially after making a valiant comeback. So Curry ended up playing 35 minutes and ended up scoring 30 points, which seems to be the magic number when 30 goes for 30. Really where this game was won, though, was in that fourth quarter. The Wolves only scored 16 points, and you knew they had to cool off at some point. They still ended up shooting 45% from three, had 19 made three-pointers, which is very tough to beat a team that shoots that well from the outside, especially when you're struggling on offense yourself. But somehow the defense is able to hold the Wolves to 106 points. We will take that any day of the week. If you hold a team anywhere around 105 or less, you're usually going to be in a winning effort. I guess not Friday because we only scored 90 points, but typically we'll live with anything under 105, 106. Gotta shout out the man, Gary Payton II, GP2, just all world on defense, particularly on Anthony Edwards. GP was so good, he played 27 minutes. I want to say that's a season high. It's good to see him healthy, bouncy, impactful, both ends of the floor. He scored 8 points as well. And this game was won in the clutch. Gary Payton had, I can't even count how many, but several stops of Edwards, including a couple turnovers. Most namely, he hounds, I think it was, we were up three at that point, maybe about a minute and a half left, and he's hounding Edwards all over the place. Edwards, you know, gets a pass back after he gives it up, tries to make another play, and Gary Payton's in the passing lane, gets a steal, ends up leading to a Buddy Hield three-pointer, and essentially the dagger before Draymond's little night-night dunk dagger that we'll talk about in just a second. But Anthony Edwards, who, you know, my notes for most of this game and most of the last two games is that Anthony Edwards is wet. That guy, I mean, anytime his feet are set or even not set, just off the dribble from anywhere. I mean, he didn't even attack the hoop very much this whole entire series, just getting whatever he wants and knocking down shots most of the time, just swishes. And GP particularly held Ant to 1 of 7 in the fourth, only 3 points, and again had a couple turnovers, and you could argue there's a third or a fourth kind of mixed in there that were on Ant. That's where this game was won, because any of those shots fall and the Warriors are playing an uphill chase to chase down the Timberwolves against a set defense. So GP2, game ball, player of the game, maybe only to Buddy Hield again, who we will get into a little bit of Buddy buckets in a bit. But this we're gonna talk about the second dagger, which is Draymond Green, who, playing with five fouls for pretty much the whole fourth quarter, ends up logging 31 minutes. Great to see, especially after 26 minutes, I believe, on Friday. So coming off that calf soreness, where we're worried, hey, they're talking about it being a potentially prolonged absence. If it led back into that back like it did a couple years ago, I think he missed 2.5, 3 months with that. So they caught it early, got him the rest he needed. Good job to Rick Celebrini and the training team and Draymond himself for getting ready for these, because it made a huge difference, particularly at the end of the game when he sees Rudy Gobert guarding him at the top of the key. Turns into prime LeBron, a couple between the legs dribbles, uses a Steph Curry screen to turn the corner, slam it home, and for the first time, we see Draymond Green running with a beautiful night celebration of his own. Draymond Green and most of the Warriors and most of the NBA do not like Mr. Rudy Gobert for various reasons. I don't know him personally, but just the body language, every time he just kind of gets touch in the face, it's just that immediate, just like head flop, you know, just kind of tossing his hair back like he's a pretty blonde in high school and a guy's looking at it, just tosses it back, flails. I mean, gosh, he's as close as getting a technical for flopping as I see. I know he did technically get hit in the face, but man, it's excessive. Let's not forget about, you know, him being COVID patient zero in the NBA, touching the microphones. Maybe it's a cultural thing, but I don't know. I'm not going to badmouth the French. We will just say nuit, nuit, and run off and take our split here. Good job, Draymond. Also, if you guys are watching on video, I got mallet finger on my pinky playing a little ball on Saturday. Didn't even feel it. Looked down, and my pinky, on the other hand, is just bent. I cannot straighten it. I hold it. It immediately bends. I have to keep this stupid thing on for 6 to 8 weeks. And if this thing bends at all, I have to start that process over while the tendon heals. Very obnoxious. Just thought I'd throw it out there. But anyways, no one really cares. Good win by the Warriors. Good team win. My immediate takeaways from, I guess we'll call it, both games against the Wolves. It's a similar take. It's nothing too new, but this team is just going to go as our second scorer goes, and that sometimes it's Buddy Hield. Like last night, 27 points on 7 threes. It was so nice to see some life from Buddy. Sometimes it's Kuminga, sometimes it's Wiggins, sometimes it's a combination of all three. But you saw it on Friday, our second leading scorer was Kuminga with 13 points. Not good enough. Warriors only score 90 points, get blown out. You see it last night, Buddy drops 27, we win. The difference is, and I'll throw this number out there again, because this is my barometer measuring stick, is that between our second, third, and fourth scorers, and I'm just going to point to Buddy, Kuminga, and Wiggins. Those three, when they're all playing, need to combine for 50 points in a game. If they're combining for 50, so that's about 17 each. If they're combining for that, and assuming Steph Curry's playing, the Warriors are going to have a good offensive game. They're going to be upwards of 110, 115 points, and they're going to win most of those games. It is just that second score that needs to deliver, particularly two through four. So I know Wiggins didn't play in this one. Buddy and JK combined for 47. We'll take that. And then we'll call Looney that fourth score because Looney dropped 12. I think a season high 12 in this game. But that is going to be the recipe until the Warriors get some help. And again, it matters a lot being able to score in that clutch as well, which Buddy had that dagger three. That's the recipe to the Warriors, at least on the offensive side, scoring enough points. Kuminga in the starting lineup once again, 20 points, 7 rebounds. He was 7 of 16 from the floor, but I say that number because I like the volume. I want Kuminga somewhere between 15, 17 shots, depending how he has it cooking and the need, and just as the game comes to him. But I also like the number. Team high, 36 minutes for Kuminga. There's no reason he shouldn't be playing the most on this team outside of maybe Steph. But even then, I mean, he's 22 years old. I think he just turned 22 in October. Best athlete on our team. One of the best athletes in the league. Needs all the minutes he can to build experience, build trade value. I hate to say it, but there's no reason Kuminga should ever be playing less than 30 minutes. And I like to see him upwards of 35 until he starts having any ailments, which we'll knock on wood and say no. Let him be young. Let him be a horse. Let him develop. And you have to just continue playing him. I guess one of the turning points in this was when the Warriors were down one, as I think there's about 3 minutes left, and you get Curry, Kuminga, a little pick and roll. Curry eventually finds Kuminga cutting, dunk down the lane, just explodes off the floor. You see Gobert lurking, and I'm like, oh man, is Gobert about to swat Kuminga at the rim? But Jonathan, just too quick off the floor, beats him to the rim, gets the Warriors into the lead, and I don't think they surrendered it from there. I mean, I still like the shot selection from Kuminga. I think we're okay. The threes he's been taking, I haven't really had a problem with too many of them. When the feet are set, when he's got a little space, it's been more or less fine. Even if he's kind of a foot back from that three, again, if it's a catch and shoot, or he's just kind of, you know, settled in and on balance, it's a good shot. He's finding more versatility in his looks. Like, we know he can get to the hoop, but when there's a guy like Gobert on the floor, you know, what's your counter? Kuminga, first off, he attacked him. He got to the hoop and found ways to still try to get the ball up on the rim. Not quite as effective last night for obvious reasons, but he's finding ways to settle into that mid-range. And, you know, that's the counter move off of it. Because if he can start knocking down that 8-9 footer as consistently as he has, and, you know, somewhere in that 50% neighborhood, which is great, that is not only a late shot clock option, but that's a middle of the shot clock option. If you can get to that, chances are we're probably not going to get a better look than Kuminga from 8 to 9 feet. It's okay if it's slightly off balance, you know, again, athletic enough to coordinate in the air, get a good shot up on the rim, and, you know, has had pretty good success with those. That is the wrinkle in this offense that the Warriors need and have not had since Kevin Durant, probably, especially in late shot clock situations. But I'm also here to talk about the two-way versatility of Jonathan Kuminga last night. 3 blocks and 2 steals. And, you know, in addition to the stats, he held, for the most part, Julius Randle, who typically averages about 21 points this year and 23 or 24 points for much of the past couple years, kept him to 4 of 14 shooting, 14 points. And I want to say, man, like, some of those were just, you know, open threes where the Warriors were put in rotation, or, you know, or Randle was just, you know, being let shoot just because it was early in the shot clock. So he knocked some of those down, but for the most part, Kuminga kept him away from his left hand. Randle didn't really get much to the hoop. I thought Jonathan and the Warriors in general did a great job on Julius Randle. Kevon Looney, one more unsung hero. I told you 12 points, he had 9 rebounds, 21 minutes. We've definitely bumped up the minutes on Loon, primarily because TJD out of the rotation. It's something that I said about a week ago. It's something that I think we know. Sorry, Trace, but it's been a rough go of it, especially recently. It's the finishing. You know, I never thought I'd play someone over, or it's Looney over anyone else because of finishing reasons. But Looney's been finishing great. He gets you far more second possessions than anyone in the league, quite frankly. And then obviously defensively, sure, he's not going to block as many shots as Trace, but Again, Trace hasn't been that impactful as a shot blocker recently either. So by that logic, Looney, take all the minutes you can from Trace. Draymond's gonna have to play more center, and they've found ways, Kyle Anderson as well, but they found ways to let TJD kind of sit and take a breather, get his head right, get his body right maybe, and just kind of reset and get back to what he was doing well last year. But we're here to talk about Looney a bit. Looney had a huge, at some point, I think it was early fourth quarter, it might have been the first possession, but has a nice tip in a close game on a follow, I think, off of Steph's miss. Then next possession down, just gets a nice dunk down the lane. You don't see Looney dunk going down the lane very much. So great to see, again, as athletic and as in shape as he's been, as we've seen in years at that. Warriors plus 15 on second chance points. One man to look out for that. And plus 18 in the paint, collective effort. But when you have Gobert there, if you're going to win the points in the paint battle, especially by 18, you have to look at our bigs. You have to look at our team playing with force in general. And you have to tip the cap and say, hey, that's a big reason why we won the game. The starting lineup in this. So, lot to dissect here, especially kind of heading into Friday's game and then with Wiggins being dinged up, and we're hopeful Wiggins will return soon with that ankle. But Kuminga seems to be in the starting lineup for the foreseeable future. Dre's return on Friday came off the bench. Again, still played pretty full minutes, but it was telling even after that game that Kerr, Draymond, Steph all pointed to, hey, Kuminga, it's time to maximize Jonathan Kuminga. We already know all the reasons why. But Dre being willing to come off the bench and, say, hey, it's time. Kuminga's not only earned it, but, this team needs to find a way to unlock lineups. And we know Kuminga needs to be at that four, so you can only play one big with him. So your options are essentially start Dre at center, which I like, but you can't do too much of it over the course of the season. Or it's starting someone else at center and putting Kuminga at the four. So it seems like going forward, it's going to be Looney at the five, Kuminga starting at the four. Depending on matchup, you might see some Draymond. And when Wiggins is out, then you're probably going to see some different iterations. And that's what we saw last night. So we saw Curry. Buddy was at the two, trying to get him loosened up. GP2 at the three, primarily to be an Anthony Edwards stopper, and that's what you're missing without Wiggins. And then you had JK and Draymond start at the five. I think Draymond started at the five for ball handling purposes. With that lineup, outside of Steph, you just don't have another handler, connector, playmaker. So I think that's why we saw Draymond instead of Looney. But I think they also just wanted to take a look at, let's go small and just, get Gobert stretched out from under the hoop, put him in the actions. And it seemed to be very effective with the starting lineup. I think they ended up starting again in the second quarter with that lineup, and then obviously at halftime. So they tried to give that lineup as much runway and as many minutes together as possible. The main reasons being that Steve Kerr talked about, he consulted the analytics team, and I'm sorry, I'm blanking on the name of the head of Warriors analytics, but at strong suggestion, he said that, hey, like, we have to get Curry and Buddy playing more together. The numbers behind it, I got them down here. So the Curry and Buddy on the floor together this season have played 371 possessions. So that's definitely a big sample size. 122 offensive rating. And you would think the defense would be rough, but 97.5 defensive rating. Very good. That's a plus 24.6 in net rating. Overwhelming success, especially over that many possessions. Have to give that more of a look. They obviously, as a no-brainer, they provide more spacing for each other. Buddy being on the floor gives Steph much more room to work with, and that's when he's more effective, when he can actually attack the hoop. And then obviously Buddy Hield has been struggling to get any good looks recently. And well, the recipe to get better looks is to play with Steph Curry. I mean, it's something Klay Thompson made a living on his entire career, as have many Warriors players. Then you add GP2 into the mix. And I know it was specifically for Anthony Edwards, but you're always going to find either a 1-2 or a 3 on the other team that's an all-star caliber player. So you're going to need a stopper in there when Wiggins isn't in. But the numbers with Curry, Buddy, and GP2 in together this season: 170 possessions, Offensive rating is a 120.6. The defensive rating is a 92.3. That's astounding. The net rating, plus 28.3. Fantastic. Have to find more ways for those guys to play on the court together. Usually it's a substitution of either Hield or GP2 when Kerr is just basically playing offense, defense. You know what? Sometimes you just, it's okay to have one-way players, but you just have the two that supplement each other best, and that each you're going to have one hole on each side of the floor, but you're also going to have one elite either shooter on offense or stopper on defense, and you just hope that they can elevate the other side of the ball for themselves. And you know, by that logic, I thought Buddy Hield was fine on defense. I don't recall him just, you know, horrifically getting beat. He had a nice stop on Anthony Edwards in that fourth quarter. And then Gary Payton is giving you enough on offense, and he's not shooting well at all this season from the outside, but he had 8 points, finding ways to create, get the team in transition, which leads to points. Most importantly, I think the Warriors, as much as they're hesitant to play Draymond big minutes at center, we have to find out how good our small ball lineups can be. That's the Warriors' bread and butter. It's when we're at the best. It's when we're all clutch minutes play through small ball for the most part. Got to find out what we have. Got to find the combinations, and you got to just get more minutes together. You know, I'm talking Dre, Steph, obviously. You have to have Kuminga, and you have to have Wiggins in there. So those four, got to find ways to get them as many minutes as possible, and then you can supplement that fifth starter with, I guess for now, I like Buddy Hield, GB2 when needed for more defense of purposes. And then you have Pajemski, who's kind of a wild card there, depending again on kind of what you need. If you need a little bit more balance in that team, you could throw Pajemski if he's playing well. But I guess, you know, my take would be keep starting Kuminga no matter what. For now, let's keep starting Buddy Hield until he gets rolling again. Let's just see what this starting lineup can be, get you off to a better, little faster starts. And it just makes life easier on Steph Curry, which I am always a huge fan of. Gary Payton's fine in that starting lineup until Wiggins returns, which it sounds like Wiggins is hopeful for the Houston game on Wednesday in the NBA Cup quarterfinals. And if that's the case, then Wiggins is essentially, you know, what GP provides on the defensive side, and then he's also just an offensive threat and shooter. So I love that lineup. You know, I think for the time being, I would love to see Steph, Buddy, Wiggins, JK. And then the question is, you know, do you start committing to playing Draymond at center and just starting this thing off and say, hey, you know what? The minutes are a little tougher, but again, you know, I think it's more valuable to get those guys playing together, get off to a good start, have the extra ball handler that you're missing now that you're basically taking pods out of that lineup and putting Buddy in. So I like Draymond starting there, but if that's a concern, it's okay to put Looney in, let Looney eat the minutes. I think it depends who the opponent is, and you can kind of go back and forth, but the importance is that Draymond's willing and able and effective when coming off the bench, and we already know what he is as a starter. So a little bit of options there for Steve Kerr. I think if we can get those that lineup to play together as much as possible, now you're going to know a bit more about what this team is over the next month. You know, still a tough December coming up over the next 3 weeks. We got the Rockets, and then you have, you know, potentially either the Mavericks or the Thunder. Then you have, you know, another potentially, hopefully, Vegas championship game. Then you got, I think you have the Timberwolves again, Pacers, Lakers, Suns somewhere again. So it's not an easy schedule. The only way you're going to find out what you need heading up until the Friday trade deadline is to play your team together, play the best lineups together, and then you find out, you know, where you really stack up. So that all being said, very good win. We lost that one. It was going to be a pretty dismal day. I don't know if I could have handled it, but our Niners got a win, our Warriors got a win, and things are finally starting to see the light at the end of the tunnel. So keep it going, guys. I will talk to you after Wednesday's NBA Cup win against the Rockets. Again, 15-game win streak against the Rockets. Let's make it a sweet 16, and let's go on to Vegas. All right. Thanks for tuning in. Have a great rest of your Monday. Until next time, I've been Chris Chin. Peace, love, and stacking dubs.